Well, you did your best, said Holmes as we walked into our rooms. It's very annoying, though, Watson. I was badly in need of a case, and this looks, from the man's impatience, as if it were of importance. Hello? That's not your pipe on the table. He must have left his behind him. A nice old briar with a good long stem of what the tobacconists called amber. I wonder how many real amber mouthpieces there are in London. Some people think that a fly in it is a sign. Well, he must have been disturbed in his mind to leave a pipe behind him which he evidently values highly.
How do you know that he values it highly? I asked.
Well, I should put the original cost of the pipe at 7 and 6. Now, it has, you see, been twice mended. Once in the wooden stem, and once in the amber. Each of these mends, done, as you observe, with silver bands, must have cost more than the pipe did originally. The man must value the pipe highly when he prefers to patch it up rather than buy a new one with the same money.
Anything else? I asked,
for Holmes was turning the pipe about in his hand and staring at it in his peculiar, pensive way. He held it up and tapped on it with his long, thin forefinger, as a professor might who was lecturing on a bone. "Pipes are occasionally of extraordinary interest," said he. "Nothing has more individuality, save, perhaps, watches and bootlaces. The indications here, however, are neither very marked nor very important. The owner is obviously a muscular man, left-handed, with an excellent set of teeth, careless in his habits, and with no need to practice economy." My friend threw out the information in a very off-hand way, but I saw that he cocked his eye at me to see if I had followed his reasoning.